To you that have tuned in to Moments of Inspiration. That's right, Moments of Inspiration. And I just believe and feel in my spirit today that I have a word from God, a word from God for you that's going to tune in. I am excited about this. God have taken us. Good to see you. Good to see you punched in, Samar. Appreciate that very much. And Yvonne William, thank you for watching. I may not get a chance to call all of your names, but I want to let you know that I do appreciate you being with us on today. And this is the day that God has made, and I'm going to rejoice along with you and be glad in it. That's right, be glad in it. And I just want to thank God and thank you, Shakur, for having the whole Academy watching us this morning. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And I have a word from God for you. Let me pray. Dear God, I thank you that you are always who you say you are. I thank you, God, that this is a day that you've made, and I am, along with thousands of others, rejoicing, and we are glad to be a part of it. Thank you, God, for your healing virtue. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, God, for watching over us, God, while we slumber and slept. And woke us up this morning, God, and we was able to give you praise and give you glory. And we thank you, God. And right now, just for a few moments, God, I'm asking that you would let down that special anointing that men, women, boys, and girls at this time, and even at delayed time when they watch this message and hear it, they will be blessed, enhanced, and inspired. And I give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen and amen. Thank you, Sister Dale, for tuning in this morning. I'm going to talk this morning from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. And there's two books that basically, one book actually that people, very few people read, and that's the book of Ezra. And Ezra is one of the small books, only have about 10 chapters in it, but they are so vital, they are so important that we don't realize that this was what was called the post-exile. The children of Israel had been in exile for 70 years. And being in exile for 70 years, they had lost their identity. They was in exile. Exile simply means that you are you're taken out of your comfort zone. You're put into another country, another city, unfamiliar territory, something that you have not been used to. And so in being transported, you can lose your culture, lose your identity, lose your standing with God. Thank you, Sister Singleton. I appreciate you watching this morning. God bless you. So you lose your identity with God. This is what had happened to the children of Israel. With three key players. If you look at the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, all of these were the key players in the pre-exile. It was that the kings was operating and they was operating out of the will of God. And so when they operate out of the will of God, God was sometimes, some only lasted two days. Some only lasted for 2 or 3 months. Thank you, Brother King, Mary Johnson, for watching. Thank you so much. And others that they didn't last that long. Some last for 50 years, some last for 10 years, 15 years, 25 years. But they was all doing that which was evil in the eyesight of God. And so God told a prophesied and to Jeremiah to let them know that he was going to put them in exile, put them, to let them be, the kings take them over, other countries would take them over, and they would be there for 70 years. Now, in when the post-exile, we had three key players, and that was Ezra, that was Nehemiah, and that was Esther. They were the key players that was helping the peoples on the other side of exile. So they call post. Post mean after. Pre is before. And so they was coming out of the exile. The first thing that God wanted them to do, he sent Ezra to them. Why? Because the people, that the children that was born in exile, they had to marry, their daughters was married in heathens, and their sons was married in heathen women, because it wasn't enough of the Jewish women around, because some had died and they had married to keep the thing going. They had married to bring in other folk. And so while bringing in these other people, they had married out. They wasn't they were serving their gods in some cases. And so when Ezra and Zerubbabel, God sent them back to bring the children and back to Judah, and about 62,000 of them came back. And in coming back, Ezra had to spend his time training them for God's law, teaching them the commandment, teaching them the laws, teaching them the stature of everything that they had not learned. And some had forgotten them and didn't know about them. Some had never heard of them because they was young folks, and some that was old, they didn't have nowhere to practice their religion, simply because the temple was torn down. The gates were torn down. The gates was burned. The city was just in ruin. And so after Ezra had came back, and this is what I want you to understand this morning, because what I'm going to be talking about. They came back and they had the temple up. They was praising God, but they didn't have any laws. They didn't have any rules for civic thing. They didn't have no protection for the people coming in, hurting them and killing them and robbing them. They had no protection. So God spoke to Nehemiah, and let's look at Nehemiah chapter 1, and I'm going to read about 4 verses or 5 of them. Nehemiah chapter 1, and it said, the word of Nehemiah, the son of Hattachelus, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came to certain men of Judah, came with certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, where they left, or where they left in captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach, and the walls of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercies, for thou love and observest his commandment. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou may hearest the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servant, and confess their sins of the children of Israel, which I have sinned against thee. I and my father house have sinned. Now note that Nehemiah put himself in it, and he was living in Shushan. He was a free Israelite. He was free. He was working as a servant, a cupbearer. Now don't think that simple cupbearer was just somebody that was just a little bit ordinary person, nobody. Thank you, S. Smith, for being with us. Was just a nobody. No, he was not just a nobody. And so the book of Nehemiah is actually a part of the book of Ezra. It used to be just Ezra 1 and 2, but by 365 A.D., it was changed to Nehemiah, and then the book of Ezra. And so exile is a state or period of forced absence from one country or one home. Now, when we look at this, and the reason why I believe God put this in my heart this morning is that we have for 1 year been in exile. We have never, I don't believe there's anybody that's watching me this morning or don't watch me at a later time going to be able to say they ever experienced what we are experiencing now, and for what we have been in for a whole year. And then we've heard of the thousands of people that have died. 450,000 people have died from this virus, Corona 19, COVID-19. So we're in this, and we can't see it. Now, if this virus was just in the United States of America, we say, oh, I'm going to London. If it was just in London, they would say, I'm coming here, I'm going there. But it's nowhere you can go. It is everywhere. It's everywhere. Now, what is the thing that have caused us to go into captivity? Well, we went into captivity simply because we have to line up to go to grocery stores and line there. We have to distance ourselves. We have to sanitize ourselves with hand. We have to wear masks. And not only wearing masks, they close up theaters, they close up bars, they close up restaurants. The thing that we was used to doing, we didn't do them anymore, and all of these things. And so that's what, you know, those are the things that we can look at. And so when we look at those things, this is exile. We're not doing things the way that we used to do them. Thank you, Otis, for watching. So we are not doing things the way we used to do them. We can't do them that way. There are restrictions for doing things that way. And we are now in a phase of getting vaccine. Now, vaccine is not going to, I'm not telling anybody not to take it, but it's not the total, it's not going to totally deliver you from that. Thank you, Greg Richardson. It's not going to totally deliver us from that. So it's a means of maybe coming out. But what I'm saying, we are in exile, and now we are just at the edge of post-exile. Now, I want to talk about this and tell you what Nehemiah did. He prayed. And now, when we read the Bible, and it gives you the first six verses about he prayed and he confessed the sin of himself and of Israel, telling God that he had sinned. But what I want you to understand was that this was not just a little short prayer. You would think that he prayed today and got up the next day and went to the king. No, this was fasting and praying for 5 to 6 months. Historians say it was 5 to 6 months that he prayed. And then when he got the opportunity, God, during that prayer, he listened to God. God gave him a plan. He gave him a plan. He told him, the people that are left in Jerusalem that escaped the captivity, they are in affliction. And that word affliction is a noun. As a noun, it means great grief. It means misery. It means sore. It means sorrow. It means they were wet. They were being vexed. That they were being treated bad. They was in a famine. They lacked food and all of those things. It was a reproach to them. They was continually being disgraced and scorned and taunted. Then not only that, the husband and wife were being killed and so forth. So that was a tremendous thing during the exile period. And these folk could do nothing. Thank you, Sister Priscilla, for watching. They couldn't do anything. When Nehemiah heard this, his heart was broken. And if you could put yourself there, your heart would be broken if they tell you that your father's graves are all torn up, the gates are burned up of the city, the walls are torn down, the people that are left are being treated bad, they are in a famine, they are being scorned every day, they are being mistreated, all of those things. You would feel bad. So Nehemiah fasted and prayed for 4 to 5 months. And he was the cupbearer for the king. And so being the cupbearer for the king, his time came that he had to go before the king. Now, it was a bad thing to go before the king and you were the cupbearer, simply because the cupbearer was the one that tasted the wine and the food before it got to the king or to his family. And so they was at a high position. They were just no little low people. They was a high position. They was also eunuchs. That means that they had been castrated so that the king know that they would not kill him, because it wouldn't prosper them, because they could not have any children to take over the throne. And so Nehemiah came to him. Thank you, Eric. I see you there. The king, when he came before the king, said, that was the king was maybe thinking, said, wait a minute, said, what is this? Do they have some type of plot? And he can't lift his head up. And he said to the king, O king, live forever. And he said, this you would be sad too if they told you that your house, your family houses was torn up, the father grave was torn up, the walls that protected the city were torn up, that the people that you love is in famine now, they're not eating. Oh, let the king live forever. And now the king, this is what God do. God gives you favor. And I guarantee you, some of you that watching me now know that God have given you favor in this time of of calamity, in this time of exile, where that you can't do all the things you want to do. You can't come to church, some of you. Some of you cannot go out of your houses. You can't go walking. You can't go shopping. And you can't do a whole lot of things that you used to do. And that is a tremendous hurt to you, because you can't operate the way you used to operate. Thank you, Annette. You can't operate the way you used to operate. And so now you're in this pandemic, and you're hurting. And Nehemiah came before the king, and the king said, "What is it that I can do for you?" He knew that Nehemiah was a man of God. And he said, "What can I do for you?" That's what Artaxerxes said. And he said, "Oh, king, if I found favor with you, I would like to go back to Judah and be able to rebuild the gates and the walls and the sepulchre." And note what he said. The king said to him, "I would do it." And then look at the favor. When God give you favor, and God give you favor before your king, and when Nehemiah was going before the king, and he had to know that he had to straighten up. And I want to let you all know, when God wants us to come before him, and when we come before God and we're going before the king, you got to straighten up to go before the king. You got to know what you want when you go before the king. Don't go before the king and just planning and trying to think about what you want. But when you go before the king, have it already ready together to know what you want the king to do, because the king is able to do more than you can ask and imagine and think. And I want you to know that today we should be going before the king. And before we go before the king, we got to do just like Nehemiah did. He laid before the king. He prayed before the king. He fasted before the king. So when he came before the king, I'm not talking about Artaxerxes, I'm talking about God. When he came before Artaxerxes, the earthly king, he was able to tell him what he wanted. And Artaxerxes said, "I would do it. I would do it." Now what we got to understand, that going to Judah was not a short distance. It was 800 miles away. They didn't have jets. They didn't have airplanes. They didn't have cars. They didn't have trucks and tractors and all of that stuff. No, they didn't have it. They had nothing but mules and animals to carry them, and they had to walk some. So he came before the king, and the king answered him. And the king answered him. And when the king answered him, what did he say? He said to him, he said, "Oh, king, I want you to live forever." He said, "But I would like for you to grant that I can go back." And he didn't have the money. And the king said, "How long?" Now, let me tell you something. You got to have God on your side to tell the king that you want 12 years off to go back and help build the city back. 12 years. Who is it that will give you a leave of absence off of your job for 12 years? And the king said he would do it. That's right, the king said he would do it. And so, listen, when you are in exile, there's a lot of things that we can't do. It hurts my heart that when members are sick, and some of my parishioners are sick, and other folks are sick, I can't go to the hospital. They won't let us in. Many people are dying alone in the hospital in exile. That's what I'm telling you. We've been in exile here for a year, dying alone. You can't even give them a proper burial because they're in exile. The funeral homes are so overwhelmed that they can't, you know, used to be, if a person died within 2 weeks, have their eulogy. Now it's almost a month, and then you can't have the eulogy but just a few minutes, not an hour. They want you to wrap up everything simply because they're too busy. And they don't want to have an opportunity of spreading the disease. And so these are the things that we are in. But now, while you're fasting and praying and giving yourself to God, remember, God want to talk to you. Don't do all the talking. Don't do all the praying. And never be quiet and listen to what God has to say. The Bible said, you got to wait for what the Spirit is going to have an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit have to say to the church. And so what we got to understand, Sister Rose, I thank you for tuning in, for what the Spirit is saying to the church. And the Spirit is speaking to us now. He's speaking to us now. And we got to thank God that he brought us through January 2021. And we are now in February 2021. And I think you ought to thank God that he brought you to see this time, because there were many folks went out. They said more people went out in January through this virus than any month that the thing have attacked us. And so what we got to understand, we have a lot to thank God for. So you're now in God's presence, and we're on our way out. But let me tell you something, even we're not going to come out fast. No. Through Ezra. through Nehemiah and through Esther. This was over almost 200 years. 200 years, my God, that had taken them to get back to normality. And so a lot of you think that, oh, by the fall, we'll be doing everything back just like we. No, you're not going to be doing the thing the way you exactly did them before, because it will not shape up that way. No, it's not going to go away that way. You still going to be have the required part to wear a mask. You still going to have to distance, because they don't know this. There's not a certainty about this vaccination that they have given you. So no, you're not going to go back. And some things are never going to come back. Some things are going to be, it helps some folk. Do you know that in this pandemic, some folk were blessed and while others were hurt. Some folk were blessed. Let me give you an example of people that were blessed. People that were driving 30, 40 miles, 100 miles to their job, and their job allowing them to work now from home. That's a blessing. And a lot of people, they had to pay a lot of money for daycare. Now they can do their work and take care of their children. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And some of the people that had to spend all the money for their gas, going backwards and forth for gas, for food and all of that. Now they're at home. That's a blessing. Now for some people, it's not a blessing because they're there with their children. Children are hard here, running all over the place. They're eating and doing all this stuff. That's a hurt for them. They want to get out the house. They almost said, just get me out of here. Whatever way you get me out, I want out. But for some, it's a blessing. And for some, it's a hurt. But you made the adaptation. You got to make that adaption. You know, when I am giving marriage counseling, one of the things I say in the last words that I say to them, and two of the words here, that one of the things you're going to have to learn to be flexible. And when you're flexible, you can bend without breaking. You can bend without breaking. You're flexible. And something you're going to have to learn how to adapt to. What do you mean adapt? And then before I say adapt, I tell them adjustable. You got to be able to adjust. Now, you young folk won't know this, but some of my senior people that are men would know this, that they had to have, when we used to have brakes about 20 or 30 years ago, they could do their own brakes. But you have to, you know, when the brakes, they have the pad touching the ceiling of the, what they call it, the inside thing, the ceiling, and it would hit them, then the pad would wear down. And when they wear down, you couldn't hardly stop the car. But you could adjust the brakes and they would go into them so they would hit the ceiling again and you could stop the car. And you had brakes that was adjustable. Now these new brakes are not adjustable. You can't adjust them. They have to go in and be fixed. You know, you can't take no wrench and a hammer and all that stuff and go into those cars. They made sure you won't be able to go in. Backyard mechanic is out. So what we have to understand, but in life, there are some things that you have to adjust to. Now what you can adjust to, you can readjust. That's right. That means that there's some moments in your life and time in your life that things are not going right. You can make that adjustment, but there are some things that comes in your life that's not going to change, and that's called adaptation. If you lose one of your legs or one of your arms or one of your eyes, you won't be able to see again out of that eye. You won't be able to use that arm. It's gone. You won't be able to use that leg. It's gone. They can give you a substitute, but you won't be able to do everything with that substitute that you did with the real one. And so there's some things that happen in this pandemic and in this virus that we will never get back able to do, but we will make the adaptation and adjustment. We've already made adjustment. Standing in line, already made adjustment, not going to restaurant. We already made adjustments of staying out of crowd. We've already made an adjustment in going to church. And so we made some of these things. Don't you think that the church is just that's going to pack out again? No, they're not just going to pack out like that. And I'm not even for them packing out again like that, because God has learned us to use some different equipment like I'm doing this morning. This is adjustment. I'm adjusting to this. And I'm learning how to use Facebook, learning how to use Zoom and all of these things that we didn't once use. We made the adjustment to do that. So Nehemiah, they was in this pandemic, they was in this what we call exile, and coming out of the exile, and Nehemiah had to make this adjustment to travel by horse for 800 miles. He doesn't even tell us the exact time it taken them to do that, maybe 8 months or so forth to get there. But they had to have food on the way, water on the way, changing clothes on the way, all of these things. When we look at and read something, we think that just like that everything happened, just like that overnight it happened. But when you're going through something, you would that just like night it would be away. You would that if you were going through a trial, the next day it's all going to be gone. Oh, no. When David said, weeping may endure but a night, but joy comes in the morning, he wasn't talking about one night. He was talking about that weeping may endure for the time that's been set for it to endure. But in the morning, other words, light going to break through sometime. You're not going to be in the darkness always. Sometime the light is going to come through for you. And so he had a plan, and he told the king about his plan. And when he got there, now here's the thing, you got to have a plan. When he got there, this is what I like about this. I'm getting ready to close in a few minutes. When he met with the plan he had, when he got there to the city, in chapter 2, when he got there to the city, think about this. He didn't even tell you how many men and how many folks he had with him to help him build the wall, but he never told them anything. Sometimes you got to keep your mouth shut about your vision and your dream that God have given you. If you tell it too fast, then the folks would not, they wouldn't do it. Those people would not have went with Nehemiah for 800 miles if he had told them that they was going there to work. Thank you, Brother Kenneth Brew for being tuning in. They would have never went, never would have went. If he had told them, said, listen, I want you to go there and we are going to be working and we're going to be building the wall, they wouldn't have went. But he kept his mouth shut, didn't tell the soldier, didn't tell nobody what he was going to do. And all of a sudden you end up in Jerusalem and you end up with a wagons of log and soldiers and men that you didn't see and people watching you. And you don't say a word, don't tell them why you're there, but you show up there. And then now you're in the city, and you don't even tell them then. For 3 nights, he went by himself with a few men. He went by and surveyed what was going on. He looked at the wall. He looked at the gates. He seen all the gates were torn out. He seen all the destruction, but he didn't say a word. A lot of times you miss your blessing because you want to tell somebody everything that God had told you. No, you can't do that. Keep your mouth shut. And so he didn't say anything. And so by not saying anything, they had curiosity. And finally, Nehemiah had them when they had this curiosity. And when they had this curiosity, he said, I want you to see. Can you see yourself that the walls are torn down? Can't you see how people are mixed up now? Can't you see how the rioting? Can you see the looting? Can you see how the people are being exposed? Did you see what they did to the Capitol building? Did you see how they went in? It never happened before in 200 years. Can you see how the gangs are coming out? Can you see how the country is being destroyed and torn apart? Do you understand there is a time that we got to rebuild? We need to rebuild the walls of glory, the walls of heaven. We need to put them back together because they've fallen down in the churches fighting each other, ministers fighting each other, lying on each other, calling each other name, whites against the blacks against the white. We can't come together. We said we're a body of Christ, but we're split in the body of Christ. So this is what you can see. Can't you see it? And so Nehemiah said to them, can't you see that the walls are torn down, the sepulchre are torn up, and I came here to build back the wall? And that's what we need to be doing. We're coming out of this thing. We're in post-exile, and we're coming out, but we need to build back the walls of prayer, the walls of fasting, the wall of prayer, the walls of unity, the walls of strength, the thing that held us together, the thing that brought us this far, the thing that brought us out where we are now. Thank God that up until now, he's blessed us. Some of us have received it. I have not. Thank God that I haven't. And some have not. And some have lived through it, and many have gone on. But thank God we yet among the living. Now, I want to let you see something here. This is what you got to see. In this pandemic, we are in coming out just a shadow of post-exile coming out. Just a shadow. They got the vaccine. But we just at the shadow, just coming out. Now, watch this. Nehemiah didn't have no trouble while he was fasting. He had no trouble while he was praying. No trouble from the devil. He had no trouble at all until getting what he needed to get. But that's what the devil will let you have. You can fast and you can be praying and you can get the thing that God said you could get. But until you get ready to put them in action, the devil will stand back and watch you. There's a whole lot. I don't know why I'm getting loud, but God, this thing is getting good to me. But a whole lot of folks are wondering. Say, God, you heard my cry. You gave me this to do this and that. But the moment you start putting it in action, that's when the devil starts messing with you. That's when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershon shows up. That's what's going to show up. Your devils are going to show up when you start putting in action what God told you to put in action. As long as you just got it in your mind, I have a mind to pray. I have a mind to do this, and I have a mind to do that. There's a lot of things you have a mind to do, and you had a mind to do them last year, the year before last, the year before that, you had a mind to do it, but you didn't do it. But when you start implementing that, and that's what sometimes our vision die in board meeting. Our vision die in reading the Bible. Our vision die in planning. My God, how hallelujah, glory to God. Our vision died, but we got to understand that we got to fight the good fight of faith. We got to go through this thing. everything. Yes, we got to make, we're going to got opposition coming when you start going through. We got opposition coming because you would have opposition too if you were the devil and we start putting our feet on the devil's head. You think the devil going to let us put our feet on his head, our feet on his head, and he's not going to resist? He's going to fight back every way he can. He's going to try to cut us down. He's going to try to touch members of our family. But our weapon, one thing that didn't change in this pandemic that I love, God didn't change. God didn't lose any power. God is just as motivated now as he was before. He never changed. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And he didn't change. And so we don't have to change. And what we got to do, we got to take our fasting, our prayer, and the things that God told us to do. Now we got to start implementing them. We got to start praying more. We got to start fasting more. We got to start getting the word out more. And this is what you got to understand. This is not a message of end time. What we're talking about, end time. Now, end times are coming. And we've been in time. The end times have been here ever since 2,000 years ago when Jesus came. Because he said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Ever since the Holy Ghost entered into the world, we've been living in the last days. That's right, living in the last day. And so what we got to preach is Jesus Christ and him crucified. We got to go to our King. Nehemiah went to his King, and he went to his King first, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Lord of Glory. Nehemiah went to him first, and when after he went to him, God let him go to the secular King, and the secular King, Artaxerxes, gave him what he wanted. And let me tell you something, let's go to our King, and let's go to our King and say, King Jesus, we thank you for bringing us out. We thank you for the every door that you've opened. We thank you for sparing our parents and our children through in this pandemic. We thank you, God, you made ways for us and opened doors for us through this pandemic. We thank you for the finance that you've given to the church and how you blessed us. Even though I lost my job, I'm still able to feed my family. People are lining up in cars during this pandemic. Some of the folks that had wealth got home, lining up in new cars to get food to take them through the next week. And don't be ashamed of that. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, your everlasting door, and the King of Glory will come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. The Lord that hosted the angel. The Lord that take care of us in the midst of our trouble. The Lord that brings us through, and the Lord that brought us through last year. The Lord that looking on us right now. The Lord that have opened doors for you that will never be closed in your face again. He is the Lord of Lords. He is our King. And so we got to understand that yes, we're in post-exile. Yes, we're in the time we're just barely coming out. But whatever it takes and whatever changes I need to take that are righteous, I'm willing to go through. The old folk used to sing the song, and I didn't know that I was going to be one of them old folk. And I thank God that I'm one of them old folks now. And they said, take me through, dear Lord, take me through. I want to go through. But the problem is now we don't want to go through. We just want everything handed to us, and we want everything to be every day just milk and honey and cream. But every day is not going to be that. You're going to have some good time, and you're going to have some bad time. There are going to be some good days, and there are going to be some bad days. But all of your good days are going to outlast your bad day. So don't complain. It don't do you any good to complain. But thank God that this is the day that he made. Thank God that he brought you, woke you up this morning. Thank God that you still have joy. Out of all that you've been through, you still have joy. And so thank God that he is your God. He is your Lord. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's my bread. He's my water. He's my substitute. He's my arm raiser. He's everything to me. And I want you to know that, listen to me, you need to post this. Somebody need a word from God. They need to know that this is not the end. It's just a few days of going through. We've just been in exile, but you can see your way out. There's a way out. And let me tell you something. There's a way out, and you got to help God. And I want you to understand something. There are some of you that may not be saved, but even if you're not saved, God have helped you. And there is what we call common grace. And God reigns on the just as well as the do the unjust. And so you that don't know him, God have brought you through. You're not here on your own knowledge. Don't lean to your own understanding. You got to lean to God's understanding. And you got to hold to God's unchanging hand. You got to get yourself together. Get right with God. This is a good time to get right with God. This is a good time to ask God to come into your heart. This is a good time for faith, forsake your way and come to God and hold on to God's unchanging hand. If you are not saved and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, I want to take the time to introduce him to you. If you would pray this prayer with me right now. Father, forgive me for all of my sin. I realize and I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that if I die right now, I will not be saved. I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. And I ask you to forgive me for all of my sin. And I want that Jesus that died and was buried. And on the third day, he rose. And I want him to come into my heart and save me from this untold generation. If you prayed that prayer, God will save you. Jesus will save you. And your name is written in the above. And the angels in heaven are rejoicing. And the devil is mad. He's going to tell you, no, you're not saved. That's too easy. That's you just said some word. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Now, God, I pray that you would baptize them and fill them with the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, for those that are watching me wherever they are, whatever time zone they are in, that they too will post this for their friends and their relatives and other folks they don't know, God, to hear this word that, yes, we've been in post-exile. Yes, we have just seen a snippet of coming out. We're not out of it yet. And yet, God, we got to make some changes in our life. Oh, God, we got to make some shifts in our life. But you're going to help us go through the shift. Some things that we used to do, we won't be able to do them anymore. But you got a new vision for us, a new dream that you put in our heart that's going to prosper us, God. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. We pray for those that are sick, God. We pray for those that whatever manner of sickness they're going through, cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, strokes, oh God, or whatever they're going through, God. There's a lot beside this COVID-19, but God, whatever it is, heal right now in the name of Jesus. And Satan, we bind you for tormenting the minds, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we pray, God, for your deliverance and for your help right now in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen and amen. God bless you, Sister Sharon. God bless you all. Thank you so much. And let me just embark on you about sending an offering to help the ministry to continue. If you get anything out of Moments of Inspiration, you can go to, it's posted, you can go to PushPay. That's all you got, PushPay or Giverify. And either one of those apps, you can download them if you don't have them, and just send it to Great Open Door Worldwide Ministries, GODWWM, Great Open Door Worldwide Ministry. And you can mail it 135 West Victoria Street here in the city of Long Beach, California, 90805. If you're in the area, you can do as many do, just bring it by. And when you put your thing for, just say, if you put Moments of Inspiration on that, what I want to do, I want to be able, some of you have asked, and I want to be able to mail out to you my notes and some of the messages that I share even on Sunday morning. On Sunday morning, I give away my messages. Every Sunday morning, they're written out, and I give them away. But to mail them out and just email them and so forth, I got to have somebody to do that, and that's staff. And so I don't want to, you know, I know that you would not want me to try to do all of that to all of you that do that. You would like to help and send something to do that. And I would appreciate that very much. I want to thank you from the depth of my heart. All of you that post, I want to thank you. All of you that just watch and don't post, I thank you also. Because we could not make it without God. If it wasn't for God on my side, I would not be able to bring you Moments of Inspiration. As you know, I don't come on here with a lot of junk, and stuff about this and that and what you're doing and da-da-da-da-da. I don't have time for that. I need to give you some moments of inspiration. Some of you have gone through the storm. You've gone through some hard things, some tough thing in the last year. Nobody told you that this was happening. Now, you hear a lot of folk prophesying it now, but why didn't they tell us before it happened? Why did they just get the prophecy? Why did they just get the prophecy? They should, if they was a prophet of God and they know all of this, why didn't they tell us what was going to happen in January last year? They didn't. It caught us all off guard. And at first, the sort of thing, it caught us off guard so much, we thought it was a joke. We thought it was just a little joke that the government was trying to do something to do this. But now we know we're not joking. No, we know we're not joking. So what we got to understand that God have blessed us, and I thank God for you. And as I sign off, I want you to tell somebody about that we coming out of exile. That's right. Point to yourself and say, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Regardless of what happened, I'm coming out. Even if this virus get me, I'm coming out. It's not a death of sentence for me. And don't you understand that we look at the 450,000 people in America that have died from COVID. That's what they had. They get guesstimation here. But it may be more than that. But some of us, many, many, many more of people have had it. And didn't die, they pulled through it. And let me tell you something, thank God that whatever situation that you was in, you made it, and you're still here, and you have something to praise God for. God bless you, and may God's best be yours. God bless you, have a blessed day.